Good afternoon, 4:30 and 68 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ashley Davidson.
I don't think there's any question that performance-based funding will hurt Moorhead State University.
And State Representative Rocky Adkins says that's why he tried to stop it, or at least amend the bill the legislature passed, but he couldn't do either.
A Lawrence County man dies in a fire early this morning.
And Congressman Thomas Massie says we should be wary of further military involvement in Syria.
In sports, the Reds go for the sweep in Pittsburgh tonight.
But Luke has the stocks.
Mostly clear skies this evening with a low of 46, the complete forecast after this news.
A fire at a mobile home near the Lawrence-Martin County line has taken the life of a 48-year-old man. WSAZ is reporting that authorities identified the victim as Riley Franklin. The blaze is said to have begun around 6 o'clock this morning in Franklin's home on Yellow Creek Road. Fire crews from Cherryville and Inez responded to the scene. The blaze is under investigation by Kentucky State Police and the State Fire Marshal's Office.
An apparent motive has been uncovered in connection with a fatal shooting in Rowan County. WYMT reports 40-year-old Randy Parmley is facing a murder charge in relation to the early Monday death of Kenneth Fulton in Moorhead. Parmley claims he shot Fulton after the man threatened his life. He says he went to Fulton's home on Leaning Tree Lane to confront his wife about why she was there. The 42-year-old Fulton was taken to St. Clair Regional Medical Center, where he died around 1:15 a.m. Parmley is lodged in the Rowan County Detention Center.
The case of two brothers charged with the murder of a Vanceburg man is headed to a Lewis County grand jury. The Ashland Daily Independent reports Preston and Wince Walters are charged in the murder of Justin Johnson. Preston Walters allegedly shot Johnson in the back on March 23rd. He says he was aiming for a deer and missed. Wince Walters is accused of helping his brother hide Johnson's body and cover up evidence. Johnson was discovered on March 29th. Lewis District Judge Brian McLeod sent the case to the grand jury, which is scheduled to convene on April 21st.
Some hard decisions about Moorhead's plans to build new headquarters for its police and fire stations are expected to come soon. Mayor Jim Tom Trent says city officials have narrowed the list of possible locations for those facilities to a couple of potential pieces of property.
And I feel confident that they're both would be adequate to possibly, if we do a two-story building, we could still, I'm holding out hope, do a combination. So my goal, again, like I told you before, is to try to have something underway, maybe a piece of property secured and plans being started by the end of this calendar year.
Trent says both pieces of land are located close to Moorhead's downtown. A decision on whether to build a shared facility or separate ones for the city's police and fire departments will be made after the property is acquired. Officials are hoping to keep the combined cost for the projects to under $5 million.
Ashland Commissioner Matt Perkins is hoping the city's next budget includes funding for park improvements. He says that's near the top of his priority list.
One of my goals will be to actually replace or repair our playground to make sure it's handicap accessible so that all of our kids can be in the middle of the park enjoying it. Yes, there is some things we've got to work on disrepair-wise, and I think we're going to be working on that at budget time as well to make sure that's a focus.
Commissioners are now working on the fiscal 2018 spending plan. It must be approved by June 30th.
More kids than ever before are playing baseball and t-ball at Moorhead City Park. That's why city council members are looking to improve traffic safety in the area. The small roads and busy parking spaces near the park see a lot of foot traffic, Councilman Glenn Teeger says.
It's a tight road that goes around the park, and I guess the south side, south entrance road, particularly is a one-way, but it's not very wide, and we have a lot of kids crossing back and forth, whether it's a concession stand or to go to other parks, from the t-ball field, so on and so forth. We just want to make sure that we keep that as safe as possible.
The council approved the creation of a crosswalk in the area Monday evening, but say there is still more to be done to keep those roads safe for kids.
The city of Inez has a new mayor. WYMT reports the City Commission voted Monday to appoint Eddie Daniels to the post. Daniels is a political newcomer. He's set to serve at least until the next election in November 2018.
State Representative Rocky Adkins says Morehead State University will just have to play the difficult hand it was dealt when the Kentucky General Assembly approved a new performance-based funding model for higher education. The Rowan County Democrat opposed the bill and tried unsuccessfully to amend it. Adkins says it's unfair to MSU because of its unique position in eastern Kentucky's beleaguered coal region.
How do we keep enrollment up? How do we continue to increase the amount of degrees each year at a time when we're seeing an area we service depopulating? So I think performance-based funding is dangerous when it comes to the base funding of universities, and I don't think it was ever set up in the manner as it was passed, as it was intended.
Adkins also says Kentucky's regional universities were established with a different mission than its comprehensive schools, so they shouldn't have to compete against each other for the same pool of money.
A scholarship program that would have provided free community college for all new high school graduates in Kentucky has been trimmed back to pay for only specialized work certificate programs. The Lexington Herald Leader reports the Work Ready Scholarship Program was proposed by House Democrats in the 2016 legislative session and approved by the General Assembly to pay tuition for college students seeking a two-year associate degree after existing state scholarship programs have been used. However, in December, Governor Bevin issued an executive order creating his own version of the scholarship program, limited to those seeking certificates in five industries with worker shortages, like healthcare and construction.
Republican Governor Matt Bevin has vetoed bills that would have created a board to regulate the recreational therapy industry and scheduled how to pay for a veterans nursing home in Bowling Green. Records show Bevin vetoed Senate Bill 219 and a portion of House Bill 13 on Tuesday. The legislature has adjourned for the year and cannot vote to override the vetoes. Senate Bill 219 would have created the Kentucky Board of Recreational Therapists. Bevin vetoed it because he said lawmakers did not set aside enough money to pay for it. Part of House Bill 13 would have required the state to pay back bonds supporting the veterans nursing home before it spends money on another debt. Bevin vetoed that part of the bill because he said it sets a bad precedent.
The EMS service in the city of Grayson is showing a financial turnaround. Here is MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler.
According to the Grayson Journal-Inquirer, the service was $300,000 in debt in July of 2015. The board and EMS director Dennis Midkiff began doing whatever they could to pay off the debt. After nearly 2 years, the operation is functioning in the black and is taking steps to make sure it doesn't fall into debt again. Its financial situation was improved by a tax increase last August. The additional revenue has helped the EMS move towards long-term financial stability. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
A state senator from southern Ohio is pushing for a freeze on adding more people to the state's expanded Medicaid program. Republican Bill Coley of Butler County says accepting additional persons for the expanded program gives them the illusion of health care coverage, but not the actual services.
There's very few physicians out there that will accept new Medicaid patients. So I think it's actually deceptive to continue the current plan because people think, oh, now I'm paying my $10 a month, or I'm paying my $100, or I'm paying my $300 a month for my Obamacare plan, and now I have coverage, and then they go out and nobody accepts it.
Coley also says it's difficult to tell what's going to happen with the current federal Affordable Care Act. He says there could be substantial changes to the ACA under the new Republican Congress.
Health insurance costs for public employees in Fleming County may be increasing. MSPR's Holly McClurkin has that story.
According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, members of the Fleming Fiscal Court discussed the size of the expected increase. Judge Executive Larry Foxworthy said Bluegrass Baptist Health is planning an 8% hike. Foxworthy would prefer a 5 to 5.5% increase, which would still raise the county's share of its employee health insurance expense by nearly $16,000. A BBH representative asked the fiscal court to send a letter stating the county would like to continue to do business with his company. Fleming Treasurer Kathy Dryden said this letter would note that the county would prefer to stay with Bluegrass Baptist Health if its rates remain competitive with other potential carriers. Dryden says employees like their current plan. For MSPR News, I'm Holly McClurkin.
Lewis County Congressman Thomas Massey says President Trump should have sought an authorization of force resolution from Congress before ordering last week's missile strike on a Syrian airbase. The Republican lawmaker says the U.S. should be very cautious about involving itself militarily in another Middle Eastern country. Massey spoke on WVHU radio in Huntington.
Only a fool would think that we could go in there without boots on the ground and just start dropping bombs and not create our own civilian casualties in Syria. That is something that we've got to weigh heavily. So right now, as things stand, I am not in favor of U.S. military intervention against Assad.
Massey also insists there's been no definitive proof that Syria's dictator was actually responsible for a chemical weapons attack that killed about 100 civilians.
An on-again, off-again bridge project in Fleming County is back on again. Judge Executive Larry Fosworthy says crews are now giving the Maddox Pike Bridge a $100,000 facelift after the initiative was recently put on hold.
There was some concern maybe that the replacement that we had already planned and designed may not be sufficient for some few things like water flow and some other things. But, after getting some other people involved and looking at it, it was decided that it was going to be okay the way we had originally planned, and our project was delayed about a week.
The structure is having its decking and guardrails redone and its abutments repaired. It will also be completely reinforced with new steel.
The next step in the project to renovate Rowan County's old jail on the Courthouse Square in Moorhead will be to update its electrical system. That word comes from Gary Lewis, the spokesman for the Rowan Historical Society. Lewis says the first part of that work will cost the group the remaining $12,000 that it has in the bank.
Within the next couple of weeks, we'll start on that project for the downstairs part. We'll still have to raise about another $12,000 to complete the electrical for the upstairs. But, we'll do what we can, and we're in the process of requesting a couple of new grants now. So hopefully later on in the year, we'll be able to do a little bit more.
Once the electrical work is done on the first floor, Lewis says they'll be able to paint that section of the building and finish the rest of the work that section of the building needs prior to its use by local artists. Taking a look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, mainly clear with lows around 47 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny skies with highs around 78. Tomorrow night, clear with lows around 52. Friday, sunny despite a few afternoon clouds with a stray shower or thunderstorm possible, highs near 80 degrees. Friday night, partly cloudy skies, becoming mostly cloudy throughout the evening, a stray shower or thunderstorm possible with lows around 59 degrees. Temperatures for the listening region, 73 degrees in Ashland, 69 degrees in Flemingsburg, 73 in Inez, 69 degrees in Lexington, and 68 degrees in Winchester. And it is currently 68 degrees right here on the campus of Moorhead State University.
4:43, it is great to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon on Mountain Edition. On our feature segment this afternoon, we have our regular Wednesday offering, Neighbors, Adrian Swain's conversations with our culturally diverse Appalachian community. Adrian talks with Moorhead State University Education Professor Dan Grace, who was born and raised in England. He says he first came to the U.S. in 1981 by way of Australia, almost circling the globe to get here.
I was born in a small village called Great Bentley. My dad was the station master working for British Railways, and he contracted TB. He had the surgery with local anesthetic, so he was awake while he removed one of his lungs. He got reassigned to a little village 20 miles from Norwich when I was 5 years old. I started off by going to the village school down the road. My mum, she taught there. Then I went to Catholic primary school in Norwich by steam train till I was 11, at which time I made a big transition to boarding school. It was rigid and highly conformist. I wasn't cut out for that. Towards the end of my fifth year, I was boxed for expulsion, whisked out of the school back to my family. I went to the local secondary school and completed that. And then I went to teachers' training college. My family were from the East End of London originally, so I went back to that part of London and worked in a primary school there for 3 years. After the third year, I got out of teaching and got into some other odd jobs, working for the street trader in Brick Lane Market, so different to anything else I'd done. I drove a delivery truck around London for a few months. A friend and I saw advertisements for budget bus to Asia. After we'd sold up everything, the bus broke down before it left London. Once we got on that bus, we were off across the channel, across Europe to Greece. We had tents to use, but no ground sheet. This huge storm and took the tents away during the night. So the route took us through Turkey and Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and into New Delhi over the course of about 6 weeks. So after looking around New Delhi, we headed out to Goa on the west coast. We rented a small thatch building 50 yards from the beach, and we were paying something like $1 a day. The toilets were just little outdoor areas with a small bamboo thatch fence around them. The pigs would come along. I think it was a perfect example of recycling. And then I met up with an Indian. He worked in northern India at a school. They offered me a job to teach English literature and drama. So they had a school for the Hindu kids, and then they had a separate school for Anglo-Indian kids, the offspring of mixed-race couples. But these kids were generally underprivileged, so they were taught in a separate school. Those are the kids I taught. From there, I took a train to Calcutta and Madras, catching a ship over to Penang, which is beautiful. It's on the northwest corner of Malaysia, and then hitchhiked through the length of Malaysia to Singapore, the place to get a ship to Australia. So I slept on park benches. The first morning, I was awoke by two policemen, and they tapped me with their stick. So I just told them that I enjoyed sleeping in the open air, and for some strange reason, they seemed to accept that as being reasonable. I could hear these breathing sounds. As the fog began to lift, I could see acres of parkland covered with middle-aged and older people going through this regimen of calisthenics. I had half of my ship passage, and I had to send word back to my mother in England. I think it took approximately 9 or 10 days. And then I think the next day caught the ship to Fremantle, just outside the capital city of Perth. We were the last passenger to disembark because the ship was filled with emigrants from the UK. I had $14 Australian by the time I converted my Singapore money. This was a Monday morning, and it got me through to Friday, and I started work the following Monday in a steel mill, for which I was physically ill-equipped at the time. I was promoted to the office. They were impressed with my educational qualification. I went into Perth to the education department and was offered a job. I taught in primary schools and special schools for kids with intellectual disabilities and emotional behavioral disorders for 9 years. Towards the end of that, the principal of one of the schools invited me to the Rotary Club. They sponsored me to go to Oregon and get a master's degree in special education. In 1981, I went over to Western Oregon State College and got my master's degree. So I returned to Australia. 1 year later, set off for Oregon again, to Eugene. Completed my doctorate in 86, what we today call learning disabilities and behavioral disorders. Moorhead sent me an invitation for an interview, so they offered me the job. All of 86. I have a wife and two sons who are in the local high school, and getting married a bit later in life and having a family later in life keep me young in mind and spirit. That drive to travel and to explore has driven me also to model those kinds of ideas for my kids, to be curious, to explore, try new things. Now, it takes a bit of coaxing at times to get them to try some salad instead of hot dogs, but you know, we're getting there. I know how to problem solve, and I know how to not get too anxious or too emotionally overwrought. When you've spent a lot of your life dealing with challenges and problem solving, you can apply that to your personal life as well.
Dan Grace, thank you very much for coming to talk with me today. I've enjoyed it immensely.
It's been my pleasure too, Adrian. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Neighbors, Adrian Swain's Conversations with Our Culturally Diverse Appalachian Community is a regular Wednesday feature on Mountain Edition. 4:49, All Things Considered, is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Braxton has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Moorhead and surrounding communities with WIVY at 96.3 FM. All the programming of WIVY, music, news, and Moorhead State University football and basketball are available worldwide on WIVYradio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WIVY proudly supports Moorhead State University and Moorhead State Public Radio.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds will go for a sweep of their three-game series with the Pirates when the two teams finish things up in Pittsburgh tonight at 7:05. The Reds have won three straight and are off to a 6-2 start. Recently acquired infielder Scooter Jeanette says there's a good vibe going on in their clubhouse.
Everybody's connected on this team. There's no cliques. There's no, you know, outcasts on the team. Everybody's connected. Everybody, you know, talks to everybody, and everybody's on the same page. So whenever you could do that, I think special things can happen.
1-0 rookie lefty Amir Garrett is slated to pitch tonight for the Reds. Right-hander Ivan Nova will work for the Pirates. Some afternoon baseball scores from around the MLB. Detroit beat Minnesota 5-3 earlier. The Yankees beat Tampa Bay 8-4. San Diego leads Colorado 6-0 in the fifth inning. And the Cardinals lead the Nationals 1-0 in the second. The Morehead State baseball team hopes a little home cooking will help it turn things around. Coming off of an 0-5 road swing, the Eagles will host SIU Edwardsville tomorrow at 5 p.m. in the opener of a three-game OVC series. Coach Mike McGuire admits it will be nice for MSU to be back at Allen Field.
Hell yeah, it will be. We play well at home. We like being at home, and I felt like we've been a good road team up until this weekend. But yes, it'll be good to get back home and, you know, lick our wounds a little bit and get back at it this week.
At 8-4 in conference, the second place Eagles are 3.5 games behind Tennessee Tech. The Morehead State softball team is in doubleheader action with Wright State today at University Field. In the first game, the Eagles scored a 9-0 win behind Chelsea McManaway's no-hitter and home runs from Ellen Barrett and Taylor Wheeler. In the second game of the day, the Eagles and the Raiders are tied at 0 in the fourth inning. The 21-16 Eagles are in action again on Friday with a doubleheader against Belmont. Today marks the start of college basketball spring signing period. New Morehead State men's basketball coach Preston Spradlin wants the Eagles to add several recruits.
6 more guys this year is what we would like to do. And again, some of those may be guys that can play right away. Some of those may be guys that need a year that we may look at redshirting. So it depends on who falls into place first and at what point they fall into place kind of dictates what happens with the rest of those guys.
MSU last week received a verbal commitment from 6'7" forward Londell King of Gulf Coast State College in Florida. According to Spradlin, the Eagles will be adding players at every position in the coming weeks. The Morehead State women's basketball team, meanwhile, isn't expecting a very active spring signing period. After inking 3 high school players last November, Coach Greg Todd says the Eagles won't be adding many recruits.
We have a couple coming in on visits later on, so we don't have anybody that's ready to sign just yet, but we're having some visits this month and potentially could add a couple more junior college players to our roster.
Last fall, the Morehead women signed guard Ashley Lopez of Rockford, Illinois, and forwards Cicely Norman of Raleigh, North Carolina, and Fidelia Nwanzi of Coates, North Carolina. Kentucky sophomore big man Isaac Humphreys has decided to hire an agent and turn pro. Humphreys averaged 3 points and 3 rebounds a game last season for the Cats. He is now the 7th player to leave Kentucky this offseason, joining Derek Willis, Dominique Hawkins, and Michael Mulder, who all graduated, and De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, and Isaiah Briscoe, who have all also entered the draft and signed with agents. Freshman big man Bam Adebayo has also entered the draft but has not signed with an agent, leaving open the option to return for a sophomore season. Some other notes from around college basketball. Oregon's Dylan Brooks has announced that he will sign with an agent and enter the NBA draft. Arizona's Raleigh Hawkins will enter the draft but not hire an agent. And according to Adrian Wojnarowski of Yahoo, Michigan State freshman Miles Bridges has canceled all meetings with agents and is leaning towards returning to school for his sophomore season. And finally, in sports, the Morehead State soccer team has released its 2017 schedule, including 2 August exhibitions. The Eagles will play a 20-game schedule, with 9 of them at Jane Stadium. With his young team coming off of a 6-11-2 finish in 2016, Coach Warren Lipka believes the Eagles will turn things around next fall.
I felt this way a few years ago when we went through that struggle of youth and turned around and competed for that championship, you know, those next few years. So I feel really good about this group, and we're going back in that right direction, and our kids are gaining that valuable experience they had this last year and moving forward with it.
The MSU soccer team kicks off the year with an exhibition at Butler on August the 11th. The Eagles return home 2 days later to face Valparaiso in another exhibition. They start the regular season at Western Carolina on August the 18th. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle baseball will host SIU Edwardsville at 5 p.m. on Thursday, and Friday and 1 p.m. on Saturday. Eagle softball will host Belmont for a doubleheader at 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. on Friday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of the Lions. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed lower as investors assessed the geopolitical landscape. The dollar hit a session low after President Trump told the Wall Street Journal he thought the currency was, quote, getting too strong. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 59.44 at 20,591.86. The S&P 500 was down 8.85 at 2344.93. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 30.61 at 5836.16. And New York Stock Exchange of Breath was roughly 2-1 in favor of losing stocks over winners. The dollar index, which tracks the greenback's performance against six major currencies, was down about 0.5%, finishing at just over 100 after hitting its lowest level of the month. As the safe haven trade continued today, the 2-year Treasury yield fell to session lows around 1.21%, while the 10-year yield fell below the psychologically key 2.3% level. And other traditional safe haven assets rose, building on gains from yesterday's session. Gold futures for June delivery rose $3.90 an ounce, settling at $1,275.50. And the dollar, as mentioned, hit its lowest level since November against the Japanese yen. And also the CBOE Volatility Index, the widely used VIX index, traded near 15.66, which is near its high for the year. J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup are among other companies scheduled to report earnings tomorrow. Delta Airlines posted better-than-expected results, sending its stock higher in the pre-market today. Financials were actually among the worst performers as U.S. Treasury yields fell. The Spider S&P Regional Banking ETF was actually down about 1.4%. And in the crude markets, crude oil struggled for gains and settled about 0.5% lower at $53.11 a barrel after the U.S. Energy Information Administration reported a slightly larger than expected drawdown of 2.17 million barrels. Among Dow Industrial stocks, your best performers were Nike and Johnson & Johnson, and your worst performers were Caterpillar and Boeing. In the S&P 500, the best performers were HP Incorporated and DXC Technology, and the worst performers were Tractor Supply and Fastenal. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down $2.15 at $123.96, CSX down 81 cents at $46.40, AEP up 40 cents at $67.79, Marathon Petroleum down 49 cents at $49.94, AK Steel down 54 cents at $6.57, and Community Trust Bank was down 35 cents to finish at $45.05. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Law.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery, exquisite art treasures in historic downtown Maysville, Kentucky. Eat Gallery works with gold and silversmiths who specialize in creating wearable art jewelry. For the jewelry you no longer wear or heirlooms that need updating, Eat Gallery can create wearable pieces that will last generations. Open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. Eat Gallery can be reached at 606-564-5578 and online at eatgallery.com.
Taking a look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, mainly clear skies with lows around 47 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny skies with highs at 78. Tomorrow night, clear, lows at 52 degrees. Friday, generally sunny despite a few afternoon clouds with a stray shower or thunderstorm possible, highs near 80 degrees. Friday night, partly cloudy skies give way to fully cloudy skies, stray shower or thunderstorm possible that night as well, lows around 59 degrees. Saturday, partly cloudy with more clouds coming in later in the day with a stray shower or thunderstorm possible, highs at 79. Temperatures for the surrounding area, 73 in Ashland, 69 in Flemingsburg, 73 in Inez, 69 in Lexington, and 68 degrees in both Winchester and Moorhead.
And that'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Baraz, Nathan Gutierrez, Samantha Morrill, Braxton Howard, Jacob Lindberg, Kenzie Thompson, Kyle Blankenbuehler, and Holly McClurkin. Our feature this afternoon was from Adrian Swain. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Dan Translator, W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.com. msprnews.org. For Ashley Davidson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.